Well, welcome to the basketball podcast today. We're joined by Chris Johnson, the head men's basketball coach at the University of Sioux Falls. And Chris, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
The summer is not a time when most of the people in the general public think basketball coaches are real busy, but imagine here now that we're in the early August, you're coming off probably what's actually one of the busiest times in your profession in summer recruiting. What was the month of July like for you guys and your staff?
Well, the summer in general is hectic, and a lot of people, like you said, in the general public think we probably just kick back and golf and fish all summer, which we'd all love to do, but you know, July was really hectic. I think I was home 4 or 5 days, basically. Yeah. You know, I crisscrossed the country. We went in Chicago and St. Louis and Indianapolis and Kansas City and everywhere in between. And, you know, it's a positive thing because you're getting to see so many different mm-hmm. kids that you wouldn't if you had to just go out during their regular season. But it does get to be a grind, and it does get to the point where at the end of July, a lot of kids start looking the same, and or you see a kid too much, and you start seeing all the things you don't love mm-hmm. about him instead of all the things that got you excited about him a month earlier. But all in all, I mean, July is a fun time. You're out on the road. It's the great hope of recruiting. You find yeah. that one kid that likes you and can change your program, and you get to hang out with all the coaches, and that's the other thing that the general public doesn't yeah. probably know is how tight all of us mm-hmm. coaches are and how much fun we have just being around each other all summer.
Sure. So when you're at these events, I mean, are you literally saying basically the same guys everywhere you go, or is it kind of a mixed bag?
Earlier in June, it tends to be a little bit more of evaluating, trying to, you know, I haven't seen this particular player who plays for this particular team. As the summer goes on, it really seems like you start to hone in on mm-hmm. your guys. Some schools will recruit a massive amount of guys or put out a lot of offers. We're not one of those. We tend to kind of hone in on our top 8 or 10 guys and really try to follow them as much as we can, support them by being there at the games. Whether that matters in the end, you never yeah. know. And then getting a great eval on our guys that we're really high on.
So that was one of my questions is, you know, when you're out recruiting in the summer is, how much of it is actual evaluation of talent versus, like you mentioned there, where you kind of know guys are good enough and now you're going to their games more to show your support? It sounds like it's a little bit of both then, huh?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, like I said, in July or June, you might be trying to figure it out, but now that we can recruit as D2s in the spring, we have a lot of that figured out already. Some of it, there'll be some guys that are no-brainers, you know, that we'll have offers out that so will other Division I schools have offers out to, and you'll just support those guys. You know they're good enough. You've watched them enough times. Maybe they're local and you've seen them so many times, you know. And then there's a group of guys that you got to decide. You know, you like them. Do you like them enough to offer them? And at what level do you offer them? And then there's another group where you just feel like you don't have enough information on and you got to see. You know, sometimes you got to see what all the hubbub's about. You hear yeah. everyone else is looking at this guy, but you haven't seen him play. Let's go check it out. But it's funny how recruiting goes in the summer. You decide you like a kid because you're so excited that he played well, but then once you decide you like him, you're not so positive you mm-hmm. want him to play well the rest of the summer yeah. because, you know, we've had 2 or 3 guys this summer we've offered scholarships to that, you know, in the last couple of weeks have had 8 to 10 Division I schools come in and you're just not even involved hardly anymore. And it can be frustrating, but each kid is different, so you just hang in there as long as you can.
So you mentioned, you know, you were not home very many nights in July, and I got to imagine that has to take a toll a little bit on you, just, you know, from a family standpoint and, you know, from those sort of things. Is it tough? You know, is that a tough part of this job then?
It is. I mean, you go to your extended family. I missed a couple family reunions yep. in July because that's when everybody else wants to have those types of things, and it's hard to explain that, you know, you're down in a gym without air conditioning in St. Yeah. Louis, it's 115 degrees trying to watch a guy just hoping while your family's out, you know, fishing or doing whatever. With your immediate family, it's tough. You know, my wife has been through this for 15 years, so yeah. it's not comfortable, but she's used to it. It's gotten really hard. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter that doesn't understand why daddy has to go to work and be gone for weeks at a time, and you miss things. There's no doubt. I'm assuming that's why a lot of people burn out in this profession, honestly. You know, it's a great time in the summer, but you also miss a lot of things where you wish you could be doing other things. But the reality is in this profession is if you're not out working, somebody else yeah. is. And you've got to do it. And, you just kind of put those other things aside. But then when you get back in August, that's the time where we can't really be out.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do whatever I can. I've been to the zoo. I've been to the swimming pool four times. We've been out of town all in the last three or four days, just trying to make up for some lost time.
Sure. And I think that's one thing that, you know, like you, we talked at the beginning here, the general public doesn't see that a lot. I think in basketball coaches, you know, you think a basketball coach, you think, oh, well, they're probably pretty busy from November to March. But, you know, hearing, you know, how much time you guys have to put in the summer in recruiting, I think that's a real eye opener for people. Curious of your thoughts. You know, you guys have moved to Division II. Obviously, the rules are a little bit different now with recruiting. You guys have certain periods you can be out watching in the summer where you didn't have quite those restrictions at the NAIA level. But yet, Division II has a different calendar or different window than Division I. You know what the reasoning is behind that at all? Or,
well, you know, summer recruiting is a really hot hot topic in NCAA. They've talked about getting rid of it altogether, which I am not in favor of at all, just because of what I said earlier. You get to see so many guys. Our basic calendar in the summer at the Division II level is June 15th to the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
We can be out whenever we want during that time. Division I have two 10-day periods. You would think, okay, you have a little bit of an advantage. You can go out, you can see kids when D1s aren't out. But the reality is now all the AAU programs only go out and play tournaments in those two 10-day periods. For the most part, it's not like that with everybody. But so you really don't gain as much of an advantage. There isn't as much of a difference as you think. Maybe the first 2 weeks in June or last 2 weeks in June, we can be out. And they will play some warm-up tournaments is what I would call them. But once we get into July, for the most part, you know, the programs and the kids who are playing are out when the D1s are out.
Sure.
And when you're NAI, there aren't any, I mean, let's be clear, there weren't any rules.
Yeah.
So we could be out watching kids whenever we wanted, so we never had to worry about any sort of calendar. However, we were just like the D2s and the D1s. We went out in July and worked at it. I mean, we treated our recruiting like we did when I was at North Dakota or Mankato or wherever. So there hasn't been a huge difference. A lot more paperwork.
Yeah.
A lot more rules that I think in the end are probably a positive thing, keeps us all on a level playing field. But there are a lot of things that you have to either relearn or just get yourself up to speed on to make sure that you're within all the compliance rules.
Sure, sure. Would you be in favor of Division II, you know, going to more of the Division I model where you had, you know, two 10-day periods rather than the whole, like you mentioned, you guys literally had 6 weeks. I mean, that's a lot of time frame to be out recruiting.
I probably would. However, you know, I know I just got done saying that those teams are basically only out during those two 10-day periods. But once in a while, you can get out and find a kid in the end of June or in between the two 10-day periods. And it'd be tough to get rid of that or get rid of that one thing that we have over those Division I's because – let's face it, most kids grow up their whole lives wanting to play Division I basketball, and so there's that allure. So having that one option of maybe finding a guy or whatever is a positive thing. But if they condensed it down, I know my family would be very excited.
Well, there's been a lot of talk, like you mentioned, about summer recruiting at the NCAA level, and you know, just following even some of the Division I coaches, like on Twitter and hearing some interviews they give. I mean, they talk about how exhausted they are after just the two 10-day periods. And, you know, I've got to imagine that, you know, like what we were talking about, for you guys to have had a six-week window, that it's got to be even more for you guys as well. And, I think there's been a lot of talk about just striking that balance between what's good for the basketball, for the kids, what's good for coaches in their lives, and what's best for recruiting. And I don't know. I think the other thing that's been brought up, and just curious your thoughts on this in closing, is just a spring recruiting period that is out there as well. And I know you mentioned you guys are able to go out in the spring right now, but the Division I guys are not currently. Is that correct?
Yeah, they can't be out. And it's amazing how many phone calls you get from Division I buddies that say, how did so-and-so play? Or whatnot. You know, the one thing I think that's gained some traction just listening on the road is they've talked about having two or three weekends in the spring where D1s can go out and then cutting the periods down to 2 7-day or 2 6-day periods. I don't know. I'm not at the Division I level to know if that's a positive thing. excuse me, or not. You know, at the end of the day, I just hope they don't do away with it, because at a school like USF or a Mankato or an Augustana, we don't have, you know, when you talk about being exhausted, we don't fly to all these places. Yeah. We're driving, you know, 12, 15 hours to go to things, and we don't have the budget to, if you got rid of the summer basketball, you would have to spend so much money going to every high school game imaginable, and you'd basically would half of your assistants never at practice, because they would have to be out doing what we get done in the summer.
Sure.
Now, the positive thing, if that happened, and the only positive in my mind is, tends to be a lot more organized. They're in the season. They're, you know, maybe, you know, I wouldn't say better coach, but just more organized. They have more time to practice together. You can get a better evaluation with a kid with his high school team, in my opinion, than with his AAU team. But you can't see him play 35 times in a week and a half and really have a great handle on what's going on with the kid. But I do think that's why so many transfers happen, is those Division I's have 2 10-day periods. They see a kid play well one time, they throw an offer out. Maybe he played above his head that day, and then now we've got transfer situations, and it hits every program in the country. And so I think that's one thing that they look at trying to, you know, to rectify, but who knows? I'm not smart enough to have the answers for all that. You just hope that whatever decision they make, they listen to what coaches have to say.
Yeah. If I can, let's shift gears here a little bit. What else occupies your summer? You mentioned obviously recruiting a lot, but what goes on here in Sioux Falls, you know, for a basketball coach in the summertime?
Well, camps are a big part of what we're doing in the summer. You know, we have a team camp, we have an individual camp. Coming up this weekend, we have our elite camp. And so between those three and then being on the road, you know, and I'll have to give the majority of the credit, if not all, to my assistants, because they're the ones that get camp ready and go, I just got to show up and be ready to go. But that adds a whole nother level of work to what you're doing in the summer. It's a positive thing. We all get into coaching because we want to be around young people. And you know, when they're 6 years old, they're jacked because they love to play basketball, not because they're trying to impress us and get a scholarship or whatever. That's just fun for them. And that's a great refocusing tool for me. You know, you just get back into the gym and it's a fun setting. But as far as like, that's basically, those two things take up 99% of our time in the summer.
And what about, you know, the current players you have in your program? Are they around in the summer? And what kind of contact are you allowed to have with them?
We've got about 65, 70% of our players here in the summer, which is a big jump for us. We want to get that number to 100. I believe in that wholeheartedly. they can lift with our strength coach. They play a couple times a week with the Augustana players, kind of once at their place, once at our place.
Sure.
But I can't watch any of that now that we're Division II. I can't be in the weight room. You know, I don't really know what's going on other than, you know, you see a guy walk down the hall and he looks bigger and stronger, and I'm happy with that. there are no workouts. They're none of the things that you could do as an NAIA school.
Sure.
Can you do at the Division II level in the summer? And you know, you love the interaction with your players. I miss that. I miss being able to watch them and help them or whatever. But at the end of the day, I think it might be good for their motor to recharge and not have to hear coach's voice all the time, you know, and get to really focus on what is important for our program right now. And that is to get bigger and stronger, because we're going into a great league and they're stronger than we are. And we had to rectify that in a hurry. And I know that Coach Mathers has done a great job with our guys this summer doing that.
Yeah. So obviously changing levels is going to be a big step for you. You mentioned their strength and athletically. What are you guys able to do as far as like skill work with your guys once school starts then? Are you guys able to, is contact allowed then once you guys are in session?
Yep. You know, you can, once we get school started and we get through physicals and some paperwork stuff, we can do, you know, 2 hours of workouts a week. Normally we do 3 40-minute workouts. Some years we've done the 2 hour long ones. That's a little different, obviously, than the NAI too. But it's a positive thing. We get to start working with our guys right away. We can only have 4 guys in each workout.
Okay.
Which for someone like a program like us, that's a little tough, because the triangle is not the easiest thing to pick up. And if you could have 5 guys, that would be great. But you can't. So We just work a lot on individual skill development and just getting to know some of our new guys. You know, you've seen them play, you've been around them through the recruiting process, but you've never seen them in a situation where a workout gets really hard and how are they going to react? And, you know, okay, he needs to work on his left hand or whatever it might be. And it really allows us to start honing in on some things early.
Well, that sounds great. Well, obviously just talking to you, it's pretty easy to see that while the summer is definitely a different pace maybe than what a basketball season's like for you as a coach, there's a lot going on when you mention recruiting camps and just even having your players around, even though you're not able to be in contact with them. I'm sure they're in your office here and there, and you get to see them at least and things. So I just want to thank you, Chris, for your time today and giving us some insights into what the summer's like, and we'll definitely look forward to visiting with you when the season gets closer.
All right. Thanks for having me, Brad. Appreciate it.